sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. We are ending our series as we celebrate International Women's Month with this week as we review Julia DeCarno's Raw. As Rojan will give us the plot in five words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. We are reviewing Yellowjackets Episode 9, titled Doom Coming. Which, C-O-M-I-N-G.
I was going to say, pretty interesting because I do call myself Doom. And whenever I'm being biblical with somebody, I do say the same thing.
I gotta remember to enunciate my G's. Doom coming. Doom coming.
He played the video game, now play his... sex game, Doom.
Doom DLC. Yeah.
The DLC. The Doom DLC version of it. Apparently, I did this right before we started recording, and it made Rolando crack up so hard.
It broke me. For no reason.
Just need to breathe a little bit better. That's all my... I just have problems.
But it was the stretching and the whole, like, warming up you did. It caught me.
And this was all before I applied clothes, so.
as you do, yeah. All right, so what did you think of episode 9, the promote, what is it? Preultimate? I can't talk today. Episode.
So... I really enjoyed it, and I think when I initially started watching this, which was last Saturday, I think, did rewatch it. Mm-hmm. I think I was having like a little sipple of bourbon, and I feel like the tea is really being spilled in this episode about a lot of things, and I kept like randomly texting you cryptic messages like, oh, I fucking knew it, or like, oh, what, oh.
So, okay, so what, let me guess what you meant by the text now that I've seen the episode. Was it the Jeff stuff? Because you called that when I was really adamantly like, no, it's not going to be Jeff. That's no way. It's about his redeeming arc. But we find out Jeff is the, what is he? He's the blackmailer.
The blackmailer, and he's in cahoots with the other guy, Adam?
Randy. Randy. Was it Randy? No. Adam actually is innocent in all this. Well, I mean, he just had an affair with the married woman. His hands aren't clean.
Oh, my God. Like, so probably not the best episode to, like, be sippling on bourbon, too, because I got real, so, like, I fucking knew it. That guy's a bitch. With Jeff, because initially midway through the episode, what Jeff is very like, oh no, I mean, no, our family, so let's just do this because we're not worried about spoilers on this. So
no,
Shauna stabs fucking Adam to death,
kills him, yeah,
and Jeff is like, well, we'll figure it out, we'll figure out how to cover this up, blah blah blah. I'm like, he's being like way too cool about it. Bam.
Yeah.
Because he's a piece of shit. I knew it.
I just, honestly, the probably my favorite moment in the episode, probably Yellow Jackets, is when Jeff is more outraged that there's no book club. There's no book club. Yeah, yeah. Like he didn't know. Because Jeff is pretty much wasn't cheating. He was blackmailing Nat and Thaisa, but because he had gotten to, I guess he had taken out some, he had borrowed money from dangerous people, I guess, or so some that, shit, that is what they alluded to.
Young blonde woman was the liaison to the bad people, and he was like beholden to like, oh, let's figure this out.
Right. So he really was doing inventory. Yeah. On those nights, to be honest.
Weird. I'm so glad Shauna didn't eat her. I'm so happy that we're kind of gonna finally end, even though we're probably gonna continue this series. and this whole like thing, and like there hasn't been any serious cannibalism, because I don't know if I can stomach talking about cannibalism for the rest of this episode. Anyway,
okay.
Later we're gonna review a movie called Raw.
Well, there was no cannibalism in this episode,
all
right?
No, not at all. No,
no, not yet.
We're getting there. I feel
it's
like,
coming.
I feel like we're, it's you know, it's prairie dogging its way in right now.
So I have a theory, but we can talk about it when we start talking about the kids. Let's probably just, instead of jumping around, let's finish our adult talk. Because Shauna kills Adam, but she kind of has like a mental break, lapse situation, and remembers how to, like, she's flashing back to the doom coming where she was drugged or whatever, and or possessed or whatever it was. And then
that's right. Yeah.
Which I think made her follow through with the actual stabbing. Because I don't think Shauna now is so, like, at this point as an adult, is probably like not capable of it, as repressed parts of herself, but she was the one, the skilled one with the knife, and did a lot of the butchering of the animals or people, right? I can imagine the people that they did kill and eat. That kind of like, in my opinion, they insinuated that like, oh, she like had this lapse and like she actually killed them and stabbed them and stuff like that. So
yeah, I'm kind of,
which is kind of fun.
I see what you're saying. I'm kind of actually curious to know if so we know that Misty eventually will become the leader of the kid versions, right? But I'm wondering if Shauna was the instigator of the filleting, or like, what do you call it, the dressing of human bodies and stuff like that. I wonder if that's something.
So I think they did a big hint about who the actual leader is.
Oh, so you,
and it's,
oh, sorry. Who do you think it is?
I'm on board now with that. It's Lottie. Lottie's the,
I believe it's Lottie too.
She seems to be the one most touched, disturbed by what's going on supernaturally there. And she was the ringleader when they were, you know, going through this like psychedelic whatever thing. When they drank the alcohol or whatever, or tea.
Yeah, I mean, there's like so many questions, because like it seems like nobody respects Misty, right, as adults. Or they like definitely don't trust her at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get the same kind of vibe with everybody towards Shauna. Because they didn't call for her for help at all until it was like, oh, okay, we need to figure this out. Or Shauna called Thaisa.
Yeah, it seems like Nat was in rehab. I feel like Shauna and Thaisa are the closest, right? They seem to have been the most in communication. But if I remember correctly, in the pilot, they were all living their lives separate lives. You know what I mean? They weren't like actively involved in each other's lives. But when everything started to unfold this season, that's when they kind of all came together. Minus Misty, right? Yeah. Misty's always kind of been on the outside, right? She's never really been in the group.
She's never been in the group, but she is on top of what's going on with them all the time. Mostly because of illegal surveillance, but
yeah.
Oh, and another big fucking spoiler. Van is alive. No, I'm just kidding.
She definitely is. But yeah, what do you think of, essentially Shauna finally has the talk with Jeff, and they kind of air out everything going on, and Shauna still decides to help Jeff by lying to Thaisa and Nat about how Adam died, basically pinning it on him as the blackmailer. So
because like I've been kind of saying, which I think I'm right now, I think he knows way more than we are aware of. Like that whole period of time we know nothing about before we start watching the series, I'm sure Shauna has told him everything. I think there's like this trust thing, which is why she doesn't call him out on like cheating or whatever. She just decides to cheat too, and like whatever the fuck, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's definitely not a, like a stay together for the kids, Blink-182. It's more of like a... There's like a weird trust thing where they're like, I can't fuck this person over because of reasons which we haven't been divulged yet.
Yeah, I think that she's still like, probably she still loves him and is being loyal to him. But in essence, she also portrayed her friends about how Adam actually died, that he was the actual blackmailer. So clearly that's going to have to get revealed at some point.
Which I'm sure Misty will be the one to reveal it. I'm also, because they're not really friends, you know? Like, none of them are really friends. Like, they're all coming back together again because they're being forced to. The only person that truly believes that they're still friends is Misty.
Misty, but yeah, she has that. She's that type of personality, I guess, that she goes above and beyond, I guess.
Yeah, she feels like a mama bear or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and she, of course, once Shauna and tells Thaisa and Nat brings in Misty to clean up the body. So they kind of like, Misty goes ahead and walks through the procedure to how to get rid of the body. So clearly, and then Nat and Shauna have the moment in the shower. It's like, you still remember how to do this? And like clearly insinuating in the future that Shauna's going to be the one killing people, I guess. And that actually brings me to my theory. Cause you know, we've been kind of going back and forth about who that person is that dies in the trap, right? And they like have like a whole ritual and they kill her. I think where I'm going with it now. Theory is, I don't think that's anybody in that group. I think that's maybe somebody else they find like a totally different survivor that they stumble upon. Oh. Cause like, why would they? Cause they've clearly spent like months and months, months together, and why would they be hunting each other? And why would the person running into the forest not know where that trap is?
I mean, I'd argue it could be, cause I kind of feel like it's Lottie for some reason, but I think we're both being very good about not going back and seeing again, right? To see who it really is.
No, just forward. Just going forward.
But you could also see, I could see a world where they have this person captive, right? And then instead of just like mercy killing, they make it more of a sport, like a ritual, and release them from wherever they're at after they set these things up.
Maybe the girls are going to divide up into groups. The people that kill the, you know, to eat or whatever. And then the people that don't.
Because I have a theory that Van is going to come back in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is based on IMDb telling me that. So maybe she splits off from the group because she seems very like she doesn't want to be a part of stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. That would kind of line up with Thaisa. I think that Thaisa isn't going to want to eat. Maybe, I don't know, because Thaisa, she seems to be... she has repressed a lot of things, and she seems to be have these like connection to the supernatural elements of the show. You know what I mean? Yeah. She didn't realize she has like this break in personality, right? She has like a second persona almost.
Yeah. I'm also getting the vibe that these people that we're watching this season that are banding together were already together in something terrible because they don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine Thaisa did eat people too. It was like they were a part of this group together, and that's why they're like, we got to make sure nobody finds out about them.
Hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the Doom Coming now. The girls are eating worms or some shit in trees, and are they look terrible. They look very, you know, malnourished and everything. And they, somebody finds, what is it? Like expired berries that is fermented.
Yeah.
So it becomes like a jar of basically alcohol, and they decide to, how does Jackie put it? That they're going to drink berries and till their imminent death or something like that. So.
Yeah, which I'm like very excited to see what her comeuppance is.
Right. Yeah.
As far as, because she's still a very shitty person.
She's full on bitch, yeah, in this one. And so basically everybody gets drunk, and Misty invites Ben to be, you know, to whatever the Doom Coming. And reluctantly, Ben, you know, two things about Ben. Ben says yes to go. Yeah, yeah. And later in the episode, which I actually thought this was a nice moment too, that Ben says is proud of Thaisa and Van.
Yeah.
Because they kind of are going together. And so it's a nice moment because Ben is, of course, gay. But I don't think he's told anybody yet. And who did he tell? Who did he tell last episode? He told somebody. He told, somebody knows.
Jackie.
Jackie.
Sorry.
Natalie. That's right. Yeah. Natalie. Yeah. So I actually thought it was a nice moment for Ben. So I'm curious about what happens to Ben. At some point, he's going to die.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like now I don't know. I don't know who's going to die, who does or lives or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
And they have like a, well, Jackie again tries to poison him. I'm not sure I understand why Misty wants to continue to poison people, but she wanted to poison Ben again. And
to take care of them. It's kind of like that whole
Phantom Thread thing.
Yeah, I was going to talk shit, but maybe I shouldn't because people probably love that movie. I thought it was fucking garbage.
The mushroom she had saved ends up getting put in some stew or whatever food, everybody ingests it, everybody eats it or whatever, drinks it, and they all have a psychotic break. And
which I love, because as somebody who does take psychedelics like that every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
it is exactly what kind of happens there. They did a better job of relaying, how do I explain that? So in Midsommar, it becomes more of like a psychedelic trip and like a self-realization. And this part is more of like, what they do in Yellow Jackets is more of the self-realization aspect of it, where people are like, why the fuck am I doing this? Like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Cause that's what happens. You kind of like stop stressing. It kind of shuts off that part of your brain. Right. Or so I assume, please feds don't come after me. that's exactly what happens. Like I know people like very close to me that try to do mushrooms at least like once a year, that just to kind of reset and stop worrying so much about things that don't matter and try to like evaluate who you are. And I feel like this was like a cute interpretation of that, this episode.
Yeah. And I think it's underpinned by the fact that clearly whatever supernatural thing possess all of the girls that end up taking or eating whatever mushrooms. And a lot of them go feral. They hunt, they kind of hunt like wolves. I thought that was a nice, like,
yeah,
like callback, because the wolves that are in the forest that we've kind of vaguely seen, are they're kind of mimicking them. They're howling, they're growling, they're running around. They go feral, basically.
And they were gonna
as a pack of wolves
kill Travis.
They were gonna fucking fuck Travis and eat him. So yeah, or
it was almost Travis's like greatest accomplishment on earth before they decided they were gonna kill and eat him instead.
Yeah. and like I said, like in this scene specifically, like Lottie seems to be the one leading all of them. Wears that fucking sweet ass headdress she puts on. Yeah. She's kind of enticing Shauna to do it, and like orchestrating a lot of the things that are happening. So that's why I think that she's the one in charge. I suspected Misty,
yeah,
which still possible, I guess. But I think that it's because of Lottie and her story so far, it tracks that she's the one probably going to be in like leading everybody, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's a very good call. I also like that Jackie is the only person that didn't eat the fucking stew or something like that. She's the only one that is not having any sort of reaction to the drugs.
She's just being a bitch or a mean girl.
Which is why I love where it was Lottie, right, that like pushed her into the closet and just fucking like barricaded her in.
That was awesome. Yeah, yeah. She tells her something to like, she says something to the effect of like, you don't matter here or something. Yeah. Like, you're not so important.
Satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. She's like,
also after like,
since
she purposely fucks Travis and it's like, oh wow, she's mm-hmm. like really trying to be an evil person.
Yeah. So like Travis lost his virginity and so did Jackie. And then he was going to like bang all of them at once the same night. And instead, they decide to eat him.
If it wasn't for Ben and Natalie's conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They had the whole like, Ben's like, you got to go find him. You got to tell him. You got to like explain this to him. You got to do it now. Go, go, go. If she hadn't ran off to do that, they would have fucking killed and ate Travis.
100%. Yeah. Because yeah. I think Shauna like cut his throat to a degree.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
And we lost the brother. We don't know where the brother is, right? He didn't pop back up in this episode, so. I don't think that brother's making it out, man. That guy's definitely dead.
Well, he might. I mean, the only thing he has against him is, like, he is really weird and is aging rapidly. No, yeah, he's going to die.
Kill him off before he hits puberty. Yeah, and then, of course, Ben comes out to Misty, which that pretty much, in my opinion, seals his fate. Like, he's going to die. Because Misty, for sure, is more than capable of killing him.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could also see her just, like, protecting him.
Yeah, maybe.
He could still be around. I don't know.
I kind of feel like Ben is, like, too reasonable of a person. Doesn't seem to be caught up in like any of the like supernatural aspects of it. So that's why I think like he could be the leader of one group, right? And then like these other girls, the girls that we're with that we, you know, are more prevalent to the show
yeah.
are the ones that are the murderers, the killers, the cannibalism.
I could argue he doesn't become a leader of any of the groups. I think he's just kind of there because they've already gone past him several times. Where he's like, hey, I'm the adult here, and everybody's like, I don't give a fuck. Just like,
yeah, that's true too.
Like, who cares if you're an adult, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true too. I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah,
this was kind of a fun episode.
It was great.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah. Let's move on to our main review of Raw. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny, 5 words. Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll. roll, please?
Sure do. Instead of doing a five-word review, I think I should start off by saying there are so many of my favorite wrestlers that aren't a part of any sort of these federations anymore. And when I was watching Raw, I was like, wow, I don't really know any of these guys anymore.
Why is it in French? Did I hit the wrong? Oh, yeah.
So coming in at number three for 2014. Did I get that right?
16. Close.
Coming in at number three for Julia DeCarano's Raw. Young vegetarian misunderstands Beyond Meat.
Was that five words? Good, but was that five words?
Yes, assuming misunderstand is one word.
Ah, misunderstand.
Right? I think it is. So,
yeah, I didn't really count them. So, okay, that's very funny. That's five. Yeah, very good.
It's been a minute since you've questioned my five words, by the way. Yeah, it is. Coming in at number two for Raw. No, I'm sorry. That's me erasing everything I just said. Coming in at number two for Raw, veterinarian student finds school bites.
There it is. That's good.
And coming in at number one for Raw, angry sisters out for blood.
Nice. Very good.
It's a revenge film.
A revenge film, yeah.
Thank Charles Bronson and...
all right, so what? So
I've seen this movie before. I saw it in theaters when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should ask Rolando. What did you think of the film?
Let's see. What do you think? I think I thought of this movie. No, I'm just kidding.
I think you loved it. I think you liked it a lot. It's like up your alley.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh man, you know. I was always
with that ending where I'm like, the movie could have been like, oh, I don't know. But with that ending, I'm like, this is Rolando.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It is 100%. Yeah, and definitely. I love this movie. I think that Julia DeCorno's work is probably one of my favorite directors, not just horror, just in general. Like,
she's
just
so good. Yeah.
She makes some of the best movies. I saw Titan. Last year, and then so I was eager to watch Raw. Just I wanted to find any excuse to watch it, so this was it. And I think what I love about her movies is that she has a reputation of doing like extremes, right? She has like graphic scenes, and she's like, people have thrown up and like had to be taken to the hospital. Shit, these movies. So as you know, I am not the, you know, gory body horror guy or any sense, you know, that's not my cup of tea. But I think the way she approaches, you know, this like extreme difficult subject matter, she always finds the humanity in all of these people.
Right.
And I think that for Ron's particular, why it works for me is that it's about a woman, basically, it's basically finding out who she is, right? And I think what helps is that she's sheltered and she's like vegetarian and she doesn't eat meat and blah, 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 right? And then she goes to this...
For reasons, too.
And she finally goes to this veterinary school, and one of the things...
It's exactly like the movie Old School. Except way more harsh.
But no, not fun. and I think that it's so important that this veterinary school is horrible. They have these very like misogynistic, very cruel initiation for the new students. Right. And seeing her put in those, you know, situations, and her finding out who she is works really well in juxtaposition. Like her finding herself out in this extreme behavior and stuff. So it makes me empathize with her more than the people that she's around, if that makes sense. And I think that she took a very humanistic approach to cannibalism, if that makes sense. Like,
oh, definitely. Like, she, they is this spoiling anything? I don't know. The characters that become aware of their strange desires, which is not like at their fault either. It's not like they're aware of these things happening when they're happening. You find out later. It's more of like a weird, like a coming of age. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like that, except like they're being forced into this. Like, they don't want this. They obviously don't want this. They're just like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, I think it works that like, she's so repressed in the beginning of this and she's very innocent. So she's like sheltered and she kind of finds out who she is and that empowers her in a way, you know what I mean? And it's because she finds out she's cannibal, right? And she has these issues. And I think that they do a really smart thing that, like, she eats, what did they make her eat? Like a rabbit's kidney or something?
Kidney or something,
yeah. And then that kind of, like, spurs on everything else going on with her and stuff.
Which is also, like, her sister kind of eggs her on to do that so she understands who she is quicker, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her sister has been there the entire time making sure she understands. I don't know. Yeah. There's also like a, they could be some sort of supernatural thing also factor right in there, sort of, but it's not really spelled out because it's not important to the story really.
Right. It's, I think that, yeah, that the, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't want to say anything cause that might be a spoiler, but, I like how they just, focus in on how it would actually be if like this was a real thing, right? Cannibalism is a real thing, right? I mean, it totally 100% is, but like the way her kind of journey to this is, I think, so like grounded and natural that it kind of made me like root for her. One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when she's, and I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but when she's like literally eating a finger of another character. I thought like that must be like, cause she's repressed herself and she's tried to like not give into the hunger or her hunger or her, hunger, who she is. Yeah. And
it's like a certain degree of an animalistic instinct just pops up and they are not in the right state of mind or like what they're used to anymore, and they just go full on animal.
I think
is what happens, which is why I'm leaning towards there is, I'm gonna call it like a supernatural aspect sort of where this,
I think the ending opens up all these possibilities, right? Like it kind of like spells out certain things, and it also like opens up a whole another area of way of thinking, of looking at the story. But I thought it was interesting that like, I thought it was really interesting that like they did a really good job of showing like this veterinary school is just like the most awful place. The most,
like a little too hardcore for veterinary school, but okay, sure.
Yeah. They like, they're doing like, all kinds of like, I don't know, impressionable, horrible things to these younger students and stuff. So, and I didn't know this was a sister story.
Veterinarians.
Like, yeah. Like,
like, why is this happening? The hazing was like unreal.
Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't know this was a sister story. I thought that was her friend. Like, the trailers I've seen, like, I thought that was like maybe her friend or something.
Like her new friend or whatever. No, yeah, they're sisters. Like, I think it's like a family and an older sister really looking out for a younger sister.
And that, I think, twisted the story in a whole nother direction. Because now that you have that, like, sister dynamic to the story, and it you know, it actually kind of made it even more twisted, because I didn't realize this was a you know, family movie, basically, between two sisters.
Yeah. Like sisters actually getting to know each other, sort of.
Cool. So my throat is drying, so please tell me what you think, John. As I cough in the corner.
I mean, much like when I saw it for the first time, I really enjoyed this movie. But this time around, I had the luxury of stopping it because I think something that you went through a couple years ago, I'm going through a period where, like, things are a little too,
I guess, what?
Like, gross, like, a little too, like, gory, uh-huh. Like, a little too grounded in the gore. I get a little, like, I want to watch something fun now. So, like, I'll stop and play something else. Like, okay. Oh, I forgot about this part. I would, like, play, like, I don't know, fucking... Oh, I've been watching the new season of Party Down. But other than that, yeah, this movie is fucking fantastic. I think it's just like a beautifully done film, which is why you told me that you liked Titan. And yeah. I really want to watch that too, because I really enjoyed this director, like, because of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I saw this movie at a theater that no longer exists, but.
That's a very normal thing in LA now.
yeah, apparently. But I was like blown away. I couldn't talk more about it. Like, I was all about the journey of this young woman and her sister. And then even at the end when, like, something really horrible happens, I'm like, oh, that's terrible. And then right when the movie could have ended there, like, there's another fucking flip where I'm like, holy shit, mind blown.
Like, yeah.
Like, things that you don't pay attention to until they're, like, pointed out to you at the end of the movie type of deal. Like, I was not paying attention to a certain character because they do a really good job of, like, making this family seem very, this is our day-to-day life, blah, blah, blah. The beginning starts with what? Well, the beginning is... one of our characters that you don't really get to see is fake out pretending to be in the middle of a road to make somebody crash.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they could, like, eat them. But, after that, there's a scene where they're at a restaurant and our main character. Yeah. She's the main character, right? I would say the sister's also there, but Justine is eating food and she finds an egg. Or what was it?
Piece of meat or something, yeah.
It looked like a ball. So
a ball of meat. I don't know.
So a bull's testicle is in the rice or something. I'm not sure what, but...
it's France. Well, no. No rules.
You know. They have comet. Great food, so you're not supposed to complain, but whatever. She's like, try not to make a big deal about it. But the dad is like, oh, no, is that meat? She's like, yeah. But then the mom really blows up about the whole situation, which you never really get to see the mom either, which I thought was interesting. It's more about, like, the dad's perspective, which at the end makes it seem even more beautiful. Like, I think the whole structure of how that plays out is very poetic.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that they do a really good job of showing the contrast between the sisters. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I think it was I'm assuming it's Alexia was the sister, the character's name. She is much more comfortable with the cannibalism and more understands what it is, and I would even say she's more like feral than just Justine, because I feel like Justine still cares about people and what's going on. And
I think it's like a lot of clearly the parents didn't know. I feel like I'm spoiling stuff.
What did you think of Alexia? Did you think she was feral? Do you think that she didn't care as much?
No, I think she was just more rebellious, or more because we also got to assume that they're in their early 20s still, right? So let's just assume a younger perspective, like, person's perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she had a more rebellious approach to these things, but she wasn't trying to eat her friends. She would go and find random people.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also doing all this alone. Nobody taught her how to do this. Nobody tried to explain what her whole thing is. And she's trying to help her sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you mentioned that the gore was affecting this time. Actually, I didn't find it. I guess because I mentally prepare myself. Like, anytime I've watched Titan or like any of these other movies that we checked out, I'm mentally preparing myself for okay, I'm going to see something extreme. I got to get into that mindset. Like, okay, so I have to be prepared for it. Right. So I was going to say that helped with watching this movie, because then it's not like I'm telling myself it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And then I'm watching it. It's like, it's not. I mean, it's terrible, and I can see why things happen, why people are grossed out. But I found other things more disturbing. Like, one of the most disturbing things in this movie was when Justine is throwing up in the bathroom, and she comes out, and there's that one student who tells her, "Oh yeah, use two fingers," and then she smiles into the mirror. Like, that was so fucked
that was
up.
Real sad, yeah.
Yeah, that was like. Really fucked up, but I guess that was.
Oh, that's when she's throwing up the longest glob of hair.
Oh, yeah.
That was so gross. I was like, oh my God. I felt my throat getting hoarse and feeling like a towel just watching that. No, I think it is because, I don't mind gore at all. Like, some of my favorite horror movies are super gory. But yeah. I think when it's supernaturally based or fantastical, it's oh, I don't care. It's obviously fake. I can watch Scanners all day long and see people's heads explode. I don't care. But this was so grounded, I was I feel fucking uncomfortable now. I just need to watch something more fun before I go to sleep tonight. I don't know.
For me, sometimes where I think it gets gratuitous is when there's cruelty involved. If there's a level of cruelty involved with the violence, it becomes kind of pointless and meaningless, and it's I have no emotional response to it. So I think that's
what you're saying. Funny Games is your all-time favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why, Terrifier 2, I'm not going to watch it. So
listen out.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Terrifier and Terrifier 2, I can watch. I like those movies a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're fun. But mm-hmm. Something that's too grounded, I'm I don't know. A bit much for me. Also, probably because I went down a rabbit hole of reading creepypastas and then reading dark web stories of people doing horrific shit. So now I'm I have a based idea of what is possible.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And a guy Art the Clown, who's a supernatural thing, obviously that's just not gonna happen, and if it does, we're totally fucked, by the way.
I think the another awful scene that was in this movie is when she's waxing her. It's so fucking,
oh yeah,
that was the worst. Fucked up scene. Yeah, that's
let's go into spoilers, because I want to talk about that.
Okay,
badly.
Going to spoilers.
Wait. No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So yeah, she's waxing her. And this is after Justine Homegirl is having issues because she's having an allergic reaction to eating meat, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is more based on the idea of when you don't eat meat for a long time, you are going to have a bit of a reaction, but you get over it. I'm only saying this as a vegan. Yeah, I know everybody fucking talks shit. So she's already itchy, and then she's trying to get wax from her sister helping her, and her sister has scissors?
Mm-hmm.
For reasons?
I forgot why she had scissors.
Yeah, I know. But she's got scissors in her hands, and she's about to snip something, and Justine is not having it, and accidentally kicks her, and it forces Alexia to fucking cut her own finger off, her middle finger off.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she passes out because of the shock. And on top of that, a dog, somebody's fucking dog comes in
smelling
and
licking
her fucking finger.
Yeah.
Which is a good excuse for later. Like, they just blame the whole thing on the fucking dog. But Justine is looking at the finger, and of course, like, her instincts are kicking in, and she doesn't know what to do, and she starts eating the fucking finger. And my favorite part is, like, Alexia coming to, and you just see her staring at her like, you're eating your fucking finger, but doesn't say anything. Just like,
she doesn't, yeah.
Like, bruh, are you fucking serious?
I just thought I don't know why this is going to sound weird, but is actively enjoyed her having that moment where she's eating and she just has like, she's eating it like she hasn't eaten anything in her whole life. Like, she's just having this wonderful meal, but she's eating her sister's finger, which is on levels of fucked up. But it was really nice. I actually thought that was a nice moment in the movie. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was funny. It was, you know, fucking crazy, but, you know, there was a nice character moment for her in this that part of the movie.
There's like a lot of them. It also, this movie touches on heavily on what women have to deal with when they are out alone in the world, I think, right? Like,
oh,
in
yeah.
college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's like a pretty pivotal moment of Justine gets way too wasted. She loses her virginity to her roommate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume pansexual guy. I forgot his name. Who was like never a bad person. Adrian.
Adrian. Yeah.
Like, arguably never a bad person. Just like trying to enjoy college. But it's like he gets weird with her for, I feel like, a good reason, right? Because they are having sex, and yeah. The only thing that makes her doom coming is that she, instead of biting him, bites her own arm until she's like bleeding profusely, and he's fully aware of this and is like, in fact, he's trying to tell her to stop, like, hey, please stop, I don't want to do this anymore, because she's being too aggressive.
Yeah.
So he kind of, like, not kind of, like, she inadvertently raped him, right, at that point.
Yeah.
And then he didn't know how to handle the situation. So they go to a party, and he's kind of just like, please, like, leave me alone. And she, you know, I don't know, emotionally gets way too wasted, and then reverts back to being animalistic. But people are like
filming her,
recording her, and it's like fucking up her life at that point.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of? So I think Justine and Adrian have sex again, right? And then Alexia, well, this is like the end of the movie, but Alexia like eats him, kills him.
Yeah, which I thought was like, how did she kill him? Even this time around watching it, I was like, how?
She ate like large portions of his body.
Well, I thought it was just his leg, like his calf area.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to say you're not going to bleed out from that, but like,
he could have bled out. Like, yeah. Shock. Could have bled out, shock, and died. But I see what you mean.
But also appreciate that Justine immediately thought she had killed Adrian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was like really, I don't want to say cute. That's the wrong
word. Very, yeah, like,
it's, you know, like very, not wholesome. Like, I don't know how the fuck do I explain this? But yeah, it was very poetic. Sure. Why not? until she realizes that she wasn't the one that fucking killed him.
Right. And I think it's, I like that they made her the sister, because Justine is mortified that like Alexia killed or ate like the guy that she liked. And, but yeah, because they're sisters, it's like, it's kind of like, hey, like if your brother like fucked up, you'd be like, oh, you like, that's bad, but like, you know, I still love you. And so like Justine still like took care of her, and
she was I think close to trying to, like, about to kill Alexia.
Right.
I think Alexia was very accepting of that because she understood. She knew, like, I fucked up bad. Like, that was not my intention.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because I think they do explain in the movie that once they hit this animalistic instinct, they are no longer in control.
Mm-hmm. And I think they do a good job of, like, well, for one, that was a nice moment, and it shows that, like, this interesting relationship of them being sisters, meaning, like, she's family, I'm gonna forgive her, even though she did this horrible thing to me, you know? So,
because they also had that fight.
They also had a fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Literally right before that. And they've had several moments that are very cute where, like, they're just, like, shooting the shit, hanging out, which I thought was a lot of fun. Like, that whole scene where,
they're fighting.
Like, check this out. And she, like, drops her pants. And mm-hmm. it's like, she can, like, shoot her piss out to make it look like she's in her penis. And I thought that was really funny. And it becomes, like, really cute, right?
Yeah.
Because she's like, okay, you try. Just, like, force it really hard. But she just ends up pissing all over herself. She's like, I can't. I thought that was really funny.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because I think they do a really good job of deconstructing the idea of women as objects. Does that make sense? Like, I think in society in general... People in general, I mean, this goes without saying that women are objectified routinely in pop culture, right? In just society in general. And I think they do a good job of just showing these are just girls. They're just fucked up, you know? Like, they're just regular people. They have desires, they have, you know, emotions and instincts just like anybody else. And I think they paint them.
People, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, a human is a human.
They're just as fucked up as everybody else. So.
You know, girls piss and shit like everybody else.
Yeah.
Not the ones I date.
But no.
Like, you know, I think like...
No, I mean, I think that's really a nice thought interesting way of framing this is showing just this, like, girl's desire. They get horny. They get, you know, they fight. Like, they, you know, argue with their sister. They have, you know, they have, like, they're just like... treating them as less as like these objects or to be desired, more of, you know, more of just like regular fucked up people, you know? And I think that was also a nice moment too.
Yeah. I'd be hard pressed to not mention that Adrian, I think, only sleeps with Justine. And then everybody else is... I had a hard time understanding if he was bisexual or not, or if he only did that because he is Justine's friend and felt bad for her.
It's a little unclear as his motive, because he seems gay from, like, he says that. Yeah.
Gay. I mean, there's several very heated scenes of him engaging in some pretty hot sex stuff. But, like, it's never with any of the women. It's, like, always with another man. But
right.
I almost felt like he's, like, you know, Justine's my homegirl. You know, I love you, but, like, as a friend.
Mm.
And then, okay, I'll be your first. That's what it felt like. I felt like he... Because there's even that moment when they have sex for the first time where there is a porno magazine. And there's, like, a... do you remember this part? There's like a porno magazine in a shelf. It's a gay porno magazine. And he's kind of looking at that sort of while he's having sex with her
for
the first time.
I missed that.
And then that's when it got weird, because that's when, like, she gets, like, a little too aggressive. He's trying to tell her to stop. I don't want to do this anymore. And then she's on top and, like, bites her own arm instead of biting him.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's talk about the ending. The ending. Alexia goes to jail. She goes home, right? Justine, and the dad reveals that the mother
was the same, yeah.
The same, yeah. And it was passed down. It's something in their family.
And that, there's, like, again, that thing where if you're not paying attention, like, to the character, you're not seeing these things, but mm-hmm. he's talking about their first kiss and he's kind of rubbing, like, scratching his lip, and you can see, like, what you would assume was a hair lip, but clearly she had bit his lip in half,
mm-hmm.
and it healed that way. And how, yeah, what he opens up his shirt, you see all the scars and all that stuff of being like bitten off, and how he's saying to her, like, basically, like, it's not either of you guys' fault. It's not your sister's fault. It's not your fault. But I know you're going to find a solution, like hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find ways to live with who they are. So, yeah, that was a really nice touching moment too. They round this
again,
out.
You don't get a good look at the mom again either,
mm-hmm.
at this point. She's basically telling Justine, like, you don't get to leave the table till you finish your vegetables, kind of reasserting like, hey, we don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that would fix something, but like, you don't.
It's kind of like they wanted her to be, because they knew that once she tasted any kind of meat, that she would turn into this, you know, she would eventually realize that she's cannibal, right?
Conservative. Oh, yeah. Cannibal, yeah.
Yeah. Republican. No, yeah. And that, I think that was a nod to the beginning and the way they rounded off. And yeah, I mean, this is a fucking great movie. You have any...
Yep.
Last thoughts?
No. I was just happy to watch it again.
Cool. All right. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Raw 9 sexy spooky bones.
I think I'll go 9.2. I really get to 9.2 as well. It's fucking good, great. Movie. Really good movie.
Outside of being a horror film, it's a good fucking.
Yeah, I was reading some stuff from, you know, Julia DeCarno's, you know, about this movie and stuff. And she says that she doesn't see this as a horror movie, but it's a body horror.
I don't see it either. Like, I mean, yeah. It's definitely a horror movie, but I can understand it being...
It's like a subgenre of horror. It's a body horror.
Coming of age film.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So very, very, very good, talented director. Hopefully she continues down, you know, I don't know. Continue just making movies like this. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Mm-hmm.